Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory to God. Say, God needs me.
God needs me.
That's right. That's exactly right, because he refers to us as the body of Christ. We are members of his body. And how do you know every member of your body is important? I don't want to miss a single member. Now, there are people that function. If they lose a finger, they lose an eye, they lose a body part, they're still able to function in life. But God's best is for all the parts to be working the way they were created to work. Right? All the body parts work. Well, it's the same thing in the body of Christ. God wants, he cares about his body. He wants his body working. He wants every part doing its share. He wants every part healthy, vibrant, strong, plugged into the life source, which is the blood of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, the life of the Spirit flowing through them. He wants everybody filled with the Spirit, filled with life, strong, and ready to do whatever the head commands it to do. You know, if I want to reach over and get that water, you know, I don't want to be looking at it, thinking about it, and saying, come on, arm, get the water. Come on. No, we don't want to have that problem. That's a terrible problem. There are people that have physical handicaps that are unable to do some of the most basic things in life. And it's a terrible thing. God doesn't want his body, his church, not flowing with his command. He wants to be able to want something and get it. Reach out, take it, and have it. So he needs the body of Christ. He needs it united. He needs it plugged in. He needs it paying attention. He needs us to be receiving our commands through the nervous system of the body of Christ. Our spirits being alive unto God, hearing his command, knowing this is what God wants me to do, and moving with him. Moving with him. And he wants us, like we've been talking about, he wants us to be able to reach out and save lives. It was the very purpose for why Jesus came. Jesus came to be a mediator between God and man. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy that there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for us. Jesus is our mediator. Before Jesus came, there was no mediator. There was no mediator. In fact, we see that over here in Ezekiel 22, verse 29. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. And people know there's a lot of that going on in our land today. Whole lot of oppressive things going on, a lot of evil, a lot of bad things happening in the world today, a lot of people doing a lot of bad stuff. He says he sees all these things, and then in verse 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. So hear God's heart. He understands that judgment has to come upon sin. Sin must be judged. And he looks and he sees the land, he sees the sinfulness among men. He sees their lost condition. And his heart cry is not that judgment would come. His heart cry is not that people would be destroyed and punished for their sins, but that the people would be spared, that the people would be rescued. And he says, I sought for a man among them. I'm looking around. I'm looking at all these people running to and fro, and I'm seeing all the stuff that's going on in their midst. And I'm looking for one. I'm looking for someone in the midst of them who would make a wall and stand in the gap. In other words, the people are wide open to judgment. Or we could say the people are wide open to the destroyer, to destruction. How people know it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that wants to ruin people's lives. And so when people are in sin and they're disconnected from God, they're separated from Him, then they're wide open to the devil to come in and to wreak havoc in their life, to bring disaster. Of course, our nation has done a lot of things in recent years to really provoke God's judgment. And again, what is judgment? Is it God getting angry and suddenly God says, I can't take it, and He comes down hard on the people? Huh? Is that judgment? A lot of people have that image. They have that picture in their mind that that's when we talk about the judgment of God, we're talking about God coming down on people. God's hand, God's gavel, God's hand coming down on people. But really, that's not judgment, because we know from Scripture there's nothing evil in God's hand. There's nothing bad in God's hand. God's hands are loving hands. Jesus, if you were to see His hands today, you would see nail scars in His hands where He died for mankind. Those nail scars represent the love and compassion of God. God is love. He's a God who's full of compassion. There's nothing bad, there's nothing evil, there's nothing wicked in His hand. If His hand comes down, people are going to get blessed. So when we talk about God's judgment coming down, we're not talking about God's hand coming down on people. We're simply talking about people reaping the consequences of their sin. That's what judgment is. It's people reaping the consequences of their sin. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You plant this kind of seed, this is the kind of harvest you're going to get. You keep sowing sin, you keep sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, you're going to reap death. You're going to reap destruction. So America has been doing a lot of seed sowing. A lot of seed sowing. Sowing according to the flesh. Doing a lot of things in absolute rebellion to God. And people say, well, see, God is going to have to judge America. Judgment is going to have to come. In other words, what are we saying? God is going to have to let people reap their harvest. He's going to have to allow America to receive, reap the consequences of their sin, the consequences of their rebellion. He's a good God. He's going to let you have what you want. If that's what you want, that's what you keep sowing for, He's going to let you have what you want. But He does not want that. He's got to let you have it because you got a free will. You got the right to reap destruction. If that's what you're sowing, you got the right to reap it. God would be unjust to get in there and stop it from happening against your will. He's got to let people reap the consequences of their sin, but He so doesn't want to see that happen because He has so much better for America. He has so much better for people, for you and I. Huh? He's got so much better. He doesn't want that to happen. So here, He's looking for somebody that could stop that from coming. He wants to at least slow it down and give people every opportunity that He can for them to get saved. That's what God wants. He knows people are sowing the wrong stuff in ignorance. So you really can't get too mad at people. You look and you got to realize this is the devil blinding people. Nobody in their right mind would do the kind of things that they're doing. You know, when you see people doing things that are completely contrary to life, contrary to the wellness of their own being, of their own future. You can see you're setting your own self up for destruction. Don't do that anymore. Don't go that way. Don't act that way. But people are blinded, overcome by the passions of the flesh. And so they continue to sow to the flesh. They continue to give in to the flesh. And as a result, there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. So God looks and He says, I need someone who will make up a wall, stand in the gap, close that thing up. Protect people from the destruction that is coming. And sadly, here in this scripture, it says that he looked diligently for it, looked for that person to stand in the gap before him on behalf of the land, that it should not be destroyed. And he says, but I found no one. I couldn't find anybody. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath and have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Now, you could see from verse 30, verse 31 is not what God wants to happen. He doesn't want that wrath, does he? He doesn't want that destruction. So it kind of seems like, well, I don't understand. You sound so compassionate, merciful, but then you sound so angry in the next verse. That's why we need the New Testament. And the New Testament reveals to us that really it's the devil who knows he has a short time, and therefore he has come down having great wrath. Revelation chapter 12. The devil has great wrath. But here it's being blamed, of course, on God, which is what most of the Old Testament does, because the people under the Old Testament, they knew there was a devil, but they didn't have much revelation on him because they had no authority over him. So there was no sense in talking about the devil very much under the old covenant to Israel, because they had no authority over the devil. So they would just get scared of the devil and start worshiping him even more, because they were already prone to idolatry as it was. Isn't that right? We got to maybe make the devil happy. That's what they'd end up doing. So he didn't even talk much about the devil because they didn't have authority. But now, under the new covenant, we've got the name of Jesus. I said, we've got the name of Jesus. We got authority over devils. And we understand we got a good, good father. He's our daddy. He's our father. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not losing his patience with everybody. And now he says, that's it. I just about can't take it anymore. I'm going to lose my temper. That's not our father. Hello, somebody. But there is a devil who has great wrath, and he's seeking to destroy as many people as he can. But thank God for the church, with the authority they have not only to protect themselves, but to be able to stand in the gap and to make up a wall on behalf of those who don't know any better, those who are lost, those who don't know the truth. Come on. Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he take advantage of us. Thank God, as we grow in our understanding, the devil can't take advantage of us. He can't take advantage of us. Praise God. We can say, no, you don't. Devil comes. And there's still a lot of Christians, they don't know any better. They're not informed of a lot of these things. They still, you know, think a lot like Old Testament people in these areas. They don't understand their authority they have over the devil. And so, you know, they just, well, you know, maybe God did it to teach us something. Well, maybe God's put this sickness on me to try to teach me something that I won't understand until I get over into eternity. Maybe God's put this on me to be a lesson to everybody else of what a good, merciful God he is and how you could die with a smile. No, you see, we got to get past that and know. We got to know what the will of the Lord is. We got to know our authority. We got to know what comes from that devil and what comes from God. Thank God we do know through the Word of God. And we can say, no, 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 I'm not receiving sickness. No, I'm not receiving. I wouldn't even receive a sore throat. I wouldn't receive a headache. I mean, it starts to come. A lot of people, they go, it's coming on me. And I feel like it's going to get worse. Why would you sit there? If I walked up to you and started choking you, would you sit there and go, oh, I'm probably going to choke to death. The pastor's got his hands on my neck and there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm probably just going to die. Would you do that? No, I could demonstrate. We could bring anybody up here. And you will fight. You will kick. Get your hands off me. Right? I just bring you up here. I go, I don't know what's happening to me. And I just start choking. You would freak out. You would lash back. You would fight, wouldn't you? Well, see, if you knew it was the devil, and it wasn't just nature, and it wasn't God, then you would fight back. You would resist it. So something tries to get on me, I say, get out in Jesus' name. That don't belong on me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for me. Hallelujah, I don't take curses. Jesus took it. He didn't take my pain in vain. He took it so I could be free in his name. Hallelujah. And so, thank God, we could resist these things. We could resist these things for ourselves, but also not just for ourselves. We have sufficient enough authority in the name of Jesus, sufficient enough grace, sufficient enough power to be able to stand in the gap and make up a wall between those that are lost and don't know any better and the destruction that they've been sowing for. We could stand in the gap, folks. We could rescue them. And guess what? God was looking for it back then, and he's looking for it now. He's looking for those that'll stand in the gap. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing, even among Christians, for God to look? And he looks out there, he sees what's going on even in America. And he looks at his church for help, and all the church is doing, saying, my God, judgment's going to come. Oh, I know something bad's got to happen. I mean, all these bad things that are going on. Oh, I know times are getting bad. It's just going to get worse. You just know it's going to get worse. Let's stock up on food and stock up on water and stock. Let's do all these things. And God's looking and saying, can someone use some faith? Can someone stand up and make up a wall between all this destruction that they know is coming and the people of the land? Come on. The church can save America. Oh, that was weak. The church can save America because the church has the salvation of Jesus Christ. But if the church is sleeping and being passive about it and not knowing it has authority to do something about it, and just like the person that doesn't know that they have authority over a sore throat, and that person with a sore throat just sits there and just they succumb to it, not knowing they can resist it. We make fun of that, but then we come over here and we think about the church. People, we look what's happening to our nation and we sit back and we go, oh, what can you do? Right? What can we do? There's a lot we could do. We could stand up. We can make up a wall. I said we can make up a wall and said, no, not now. Not in my time. Not now, not in my time. He said if his people would call by his name, humble themselves and pray and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways and pray, he'd hear from heaven and heal their land. Isn't that what he said? He'd heal the land. I believe God's not a liar. I believe God speaks the truth. Notice here in Psalm 106, we're not just going to sit back and watch people go to hell. We're not just going to sit back and watch America go to hell. Come on. And we're not going to sit back if we get ourselves stirred up. We shake ourselves and awaken ourselves and say, no, enough of this passiveness. Don't wait for everybody else. You're an individual. Do something. You got the name of Jesus. Do something. Just make a decision. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make up a wall. We're all living stones. You're a big stone. Amen. Big stumbling stone to the devil. Hallelujah. And a big part of that wall that'll protect people from getting in, from devils from getting in and destroying people. Notice this in Psalm 106 in verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. So notice again, we see God's destruction's coming. Wrath is coming. Bad things are going to happen. Evil things are going to happen. All those Israelites in the wilderness, every one of them would have been wiped out. All of them. The good would have been taken with the bad because the bad were in the majority. And a lot of good folks, see, they would have gone down with them. Had not someone, just one, stood in the gap. Think about it. If one man can stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of the people and a nation be spared, how much more can this nation be spared if all of us would rise up and stand in the gap? Right? He's writing this for us, letting us know things can be changed. Things can be stopped from coming. You know, the Bible goes so far as to say over in 1 John, I think it's the 5th chapter there, he says, if anyone sees his brother sin a sin which does not lead to death, he can ask, and God will give life to those whose sins are not unto death. That's what he said. He said, if you see a brother, a fellow brother in Christ, not living right, he's in the flesh, he's sinning, you can ask God on his behalf. Now, if he's sinning, what's he sowing towards? Death, right? But you can ask, and God will give him life. In fact, hold your place, you got to look at it. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 16. Oh, I love verse 14 and 15, but we just don't have time for it. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life, for those who commit sin not leading to death. Now, why would he have to give him life if the sin is not unto death? Because the death that it's talking about there is the death of the human spirit. It's talking about a brother who's been born again, made alive spiritually in Christ Jesus, but he's living in sin. He's continuing in sin. What's going to happen if he continues in sin? He's going to not only begin to reap death in his flesh, but he could reap death in his very spirit and die again spiritually. That's what he's talking about there. You could die spiritually even after having been made alive. It's very clear right here. So he says, if anyone sees a brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, talking about spiritual death, the death of the spirit. I think the Amplified brings that out. He will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. And the life that it's talking about there is God bringing life into his earthly life, into his physical life. God will bring him healing. God will bring him protection. God will bring his presence into that person's life. They're sinning. A sin doesn't lead to spiritual death. It's sins of the flesh. They're being fleshy. They're not living right. Well, they keep doing that, they're going to reap corruption in the flesh. But thank God we can ask and say, no, God, give them life. I don't want to see them get sick. I don't want to see them die prematurely. Give them life. Give them life. And what's God going to do? Huh? He's going to give him life. Why? Because you asked. That's the kind of authority you have. That's the kind of power you have. The verses, a couple verses just right before that, he's talking about anything you ask, you can know that it's yours. You can know that it's yours. God will give it to you. Oh, I got to read it. Why not? Verse 14. I knew it was going to get me. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Thank God we know his will because we got his word. The word of God teaches his will. Praise God. Not just the old, but the New Testament. And if we know that what we're asking is according to his will, then what? We know he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. So anything that you need in life, you can ask for it. You can ask for it and know with confidence, this is mine. I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus. And then it doesn't matter how it looks, you know you received it and it's yours. You can just go about your business praising God even though it doesn't look very good. You can still go about your business just praising God, thanking God, hallelujah, because you know it's yours because you know you received it when you prayed. Amen. So you know you'll see it. Amen. You got confidence. Got confidence. Well, then he goes right on. And he says, if you see a brother sinning a sin, you can ask for them too. Not only for yourself, but if you see a brother and he needs life and he don't have the sense enough to live right and pray right to receive life, you can pray for him and say, God, give him life. Give him life so that he stays alive. He don't die prematurely. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Such authority that you and I have. Take time, meditate on these things, stir yourself up into the reality of these things. Know that this is the kind of power that you have in God. That his ears are open to you, his eyes are looking on you, and you can have whatever you desire. You can have whatever you want. Glory according to his will, according to his word. Can you say amen? So Moses was that kind of man. He was that kind of man. He stood there in the gap. He made up a wall. And notice again, let's just look at that again in Psalm 106:23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach. Well, you see, sometimes people read that and say, well, see now, Moses was one of his chosen ones, one of his special ones. But really, what is a chosen one? Can you be a chosen one? Well, how can you be? By choosing to obey God. Choosing to do the will of God. Choosing to follow God. Choosing to be chosen. Those who choose to do the will of God, those who rise up to fulfill the plan of God for their life, those are the ones that are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Who are the ones that are chosen? The ones that answer the call. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? Oh, hallelujah. Then you're a chosen one just like Moses. Hallelujah. We can rise up, answer the call, stand in the gap, and save lives. Save lives for all eternity. Because people will go to hell without you. Just as simple as that. You will make the difference between heaven and hell for somebody. And it's more than just a somebody. You're affecting more lives than you realize, and you can affect a whole lot more. No, if God wants them saved, ultimately, in his sovereignty, he will get it done. No, you're wrong. He's seeking for a person. Had it not been for Moses, who chose to answer the call, if it had not been for, they all would have been destroyed. That's what he said. He needs you. Say, God needs me. Somebody needs me. Somebody needs to be saved. They're not going to heaven without my help. I've got to stand in the middle between them and the devil and be a bridge between them and Jesus, who's a mediator between them and God the Father. Hallelujah. How are people going to do it? God, what, did you want to just go through life and say, hey, you know, everything's cool, dude. Cool, dude. We know people aren't living right. Cool, dude. No, man. Let's go away from those kind of people. Pray. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Put a plan together. Stir ourselves up and say, I'm going to bring that soul into the kingdom of God. And a lot of times people are just used to letting the devil stir them up. You know, and he does it through circumstances. He'll come in and he'll put a bill in the mail. He'll do something with the bank account. Of course, you did it, but he's going to put a little extra light on it this month. And people react to these things. And they allow these things to stir them up. They get all stirred up. Margaret says something wrong, and they get all stirred up. The kids do something wrong. They get all stirred up. This goes wrong. They get all stirred up. Something is always externally stirring them up. And folks are used to living in that place where something or someone, the devil, who's behind the somethings, is always stirring them up so that they don't know how to stir themselves up. It's time to start ignoring the devil and start stirring ourselves up. Start stirring ourselves up about things that are worth getting stirred up about. Something eternal. Not just all this temporal stuff that changes with the weather. Come on. It's time to get stirred up about some eternal things. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So you say, I'm stirring it up. Stirring up the desire to see people saved. See people born again. To see the will of God fully accomplished in my life. Hallelujah. Are you going to keep stirring it? Keep stirring the pot. Why? Because if you don't, it's going to burn. We got a lot of burnt out Christians. You ever see a lot of burnt out Christians? You can smell it. You smell it, go, oh my goodness. It really smells like something's burnt. I mean, all the deodorant and all the cologne in the world can't hide it. Stir the pot. Stir the pot and you won't get burned by the devil. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Give God a shout. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.